Sorry, I was being a father. There we go. It's interesting, as you look out in the room here, there's no doubt, in my mind, you see three groups of people. It's family, close friends, and some relatives that knew Dave, or folks that grew up with Dave, that really knew Dave until he was 25 years old, or 24 years old, before Dave moved to Maine. And a lot of times, even I've talked to some of them today, are just overwhelmed and shocked to see what my brother has accomplished here in Maine. You flip the coin, and you have a lot of folks that never met Dave before 1984. And in a lot of cases, they really have no idea where Dave came from. And I mean that in many ways. And then you have folks like myself and the family that I'm, you know, proud to say that I've been a constant in Dave's life and vice versa. So from that perspective, what I wanted to do, and hopefully this isn't too ambitious, is do three things. One was connect the brother that I grew up with the man and the boat builder and the friend that we all knew here in Maine. Really talk about how Maine, I see his moving to Southern Maine and Kennebunkport as a transformational event in his life, and I want to explain that a little bit because it's amazing how the pieces of his life came together. And then thirdly, as we all do and life goes on here and we try to figure out what we can take away from this, I have some thoughts about what his life and his passing maybe could mean to us as we move forward. So the first thing I'd say is, how many folks in here met Dave after 1984 when he came to Maine? So, wow. And I'd like you to think back to the first time you met my brother. And think back, and I guarantee you, it might not have been the first one, it might be the second or third, but you have a very clear picture of that meeting. And why is it? It's because my brother made an impression. Good, for good or bad, he made an impression. And if he was at a party, he had a brilliant mind, a golden tongue for debating anything, even things he knew nothing about. And he would win every time. Someone said yesterday, all he needed was amount of information that would fit on a postage stamp, and he could argue anything. And at the end of the day, beyond that, he had an incredible sense of humor, although slightly offbeat, and just a sarcasm that at times could be biting. And if it was the first time you met him, that's okay. That might come back at you. So as all of you think of that, I'm sure you have a memory or an image of it. But what I'd ask you to also say is, didn't you at some point say, where in God's name did this guy come from? You had to have. And so I'm going to attempt to talk to you a little bit about that. And what I'd like to be able to tell you is a simple answer, that when my mom and dad brought him home from the hospital, he was wearing a red union suit. He had a red baby booty and a green baby booty, and he was chanting Marxist doctrine, okay? But I can't tell you that. It's not that simple. So we all grew up on Long Island in a town called Manhasset, totally Irish Catholic town. To explain that, 8 houses on our block, over 50 kids. They didn't get the note on birth control. Just so you know what we're dealing with here. David was number 4 of 6 children. Much to the chagrin of David and maybe the surprise of folks here, he did not grow up a pauper, and he did not grow up a pauper's son. I would say we were very fortunate growing up in many ways and having a tight-knit family, living in a great community, being exposed to the world, and I think that worldview that Dave had was a direct result of all that stuff. But Dave really, as I talked to my mom, he was obviously a great kid, very active, did a million things, but he wasn't a standout. He was just a great kid and did a lot of things. And the two things that I see from those early years that make sense for what he became later was he had an incredible curiosity for how things worked and how they ticked, and he would take things apart and blow them up and try to put them back together. And he was very good with his hands. He was building Estes rockets or little models. He was fantastic, which makes sense. And obviously he was very smart and gifted, and school came very easily to him, but he was very quiet. So what happened next, I'm still trying to figure out. As I said, I grew up in the same house. I had the same mother and father. I drank from the same well. Mom, I apologize for this, but I ate the same overcooked meatloaf every Wednesday. All right. But I can pin it to a certain era, and it was mid-1970s with his instantaneous love of rock and roll, and it was really Lynyrd Skynyrd where it started, but it progressed from there. And with that came the unleashing of a unique individual spirit unlike the world has ever seen. With that came a love of music and a fashion sense that could kill. And to take you back, his first breakout fashion statement was a handcrafted Leonard Skinner t-shirt that he made from a silk screen that had a needle and a spoon that said Leonard Skinner. He wore it with a buckskin vest with big deer antlers and a huge cowboy hat. And he wore it wherever he went. And that was, if you look at the early pictures, he only had one shirt. Show me a picture where he wasn't wearing it. I don't know if he showered, what happened. Then he moved on to, the blue jean look. I saw an old picture where he had like a Danny Bonaducci kind of fruffled shirt. His hair was long and he had a double wide bandana. And he had that for many, many years and a lot of the windsurfing pictures. And he had that up through college probably until he moved to Maine. I learned a new one yesterday. Someone said they met him during his lobster earring phase. So go figure. I'm learning, but I can't tell you all the phases, but obviously rewind to last year and what would you see Dave wearing? You know, a pair of jeans that had epoxy all over them. You could hear him a block away as they rubbed together. He obviously had his red high tops and his green high tops. And so his fashion statement was unbelievable, and he stayed true to it his whole life. The other thing that happened is this very quiet boy went to be a really free thinker, very free spirited. He had an unbelievable appetite for literature and books. He remembered everything. And he was obviously very, very smart and became a very able debater. The other thing that developed is this quiet boy had an incredible zest for life and a passion for life. And anybody that meets Dave, that energy that he had was just unbelievable. So obviously that happened, but three other things that happened that were really interesting that I think defined who he was as an adult. The first was he realized that he was fantastic at working with his hands and he loved working with wood. And he always told me one of the two or three people that really changed his life was a seventh grade shop teacher by the name of Mr. Stege. And Mr. Stege got him into woodworking, and he has a plaque at the Buckley Country Day School. It's a private school. I apologize. And he, at 12, I would tell you, my brother was a very competent woodworker at 12. I mean, he's building garbage bins for my parents and doing all that. At age 14, he worked summer jobs building a house. He apprenticed at age 15 for a cabinet maker. And at age 16, my father made the fatal but also beautiful flaw of having David build our kitchen at home. And while David didn't charge the normal rates that he would charge these days, so my dad got a hell of a deal, it took 8 months longer, and my father took eight of us out to breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 6 months. And so at the end of the day, who knows what the whole thing cost. But he walked away. It was obvious that with his brilliant mind that his mind and hands would one day come together and create beautiful things, but it was definitely going to be working with his hands. The other thing was just an incredible fascination with sailing and sailboats. And my father, who's a very competent sailor, and sailed sunfish in Manhasset Bay, very light wind, and David was exposed to it there. And as we went out to Fire Island, he moved up to lasers, and he moved up to 420s. He went then to teach the children there, and at his boarding school, the Kent School, he was on the racing team. So sailing was part of his blood. But the other thing that happened in there was about age 17 or 18, he was one of the first three individuals on the East Coast of the United States to get a windsurfer. And he exposed so many people to windsurfing where we were out in the Great South Bay. And he was able to do things on windsurfers that my mom told me I couldn't talk about, so I won't. And you can talk to me later if you want. I'm still fascinated. But one thing, if Pat Quinn is here, I don't know, how far is West Hampton from Point of Woods? It's 20 miles. He would sail with his, just wearing nothing but his bathing suit, a backpack filled with a six-pack of beer, and the windsurfer, and his bandana, and he would sail over 20 miles to go visit Pat Quinn and stay for the weekend and then sail his windsurfer back. So, would he stay overnight?
No, he'd sail at
night. Oh, yeah. He did sail at night as well. So, but the one thing that that Kurt touched upon as well, though, there were some sailboats at that time that were beautiful. There was a Zephyr, and I don't know if Zephyr is what type of boat that is, but certainly there were the Harrisoff boats that he saw, and he loved just the simplicity, the function, and the form of those boats, that they lasted as long as they did. They were as beautiful as they did. That had an everlasting effect on him. The other thing that was obvious was Dave was just a huge entrepreneur, and while he walked around UVM preaching socialist doctrine, he was as red-blooded a capitalist as you will ever meet in your life. And as I talk to many people today, every time I see someone with a Bull House shirt, I said, did he give it to you or did he sell it to you? Okay? And 99% of the time they sold it to him. And that, you know, that was my brother. But he did anything. First of all, probably one of the hardest working guys. He did, when he was focused, he worked harder than anybody I've ever met on whatever he was working on. He did all sorts of odd jobs, was contractor, bartending, you name it. He did it. The one interesting thing was my father was modeling a certain work behavior. And Dave was obviously not picking up the cues. So my father would get up every morning and he'd take the train to Wall Street, right? Dave would at five o'clock in the afternoon, instead of walking the 100 yards to the bar he bartended in, he would, with his jeans on and his backpack and his bandana, he would take his windsurfer, he'd sail out the basin, go 100 yards down the beach, go, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, he'd sail his windsurfer back. The other thing is, while my father was wearing tailored suits to the city, Dave quite often would be seen standing on the bar at the schooner wearing women's clothing and barking like a dog. And let me tell you something, his tip cup was full all the time. People absolutely loved him. So I was not one of the more intelligent ones in my family, but even at 12, I could tell something was way different about this guy. That something was way different, that he probably wasn't following my dad's footsteps in the business world, and maybe at the rate he was going, he might be unemployable at some point. So all these things kind of went through my mind, and while I should have been scared for his prospects, something amazing happened. When he graduated from UVM, he came to Kennebunkport, Maine, and I see that as probably really his past connecting with his future, probably the most transformative thing that ever happened for my brother. He showed up here with a college degree, having no clue what he wanted to do in life, but having an interest in throwing his hand at making and trying to make a wooden sailboat. So he joined the landing school, and from what happened there is really history as far as his boat building career. But what's amazing is he, through really hard work and dedication, found something he loved to do and something that's so connected to what his past was. And he went from being a competent woodworker to being a master craftsman and artisan of just unbelievable ability, as you see all around this shop, to someone who touched a lot of people in and outside the boat building world. The other thing, I mean, you know, David came from this community, Point of Woods on Fire Island, a very small community where it's very tight knit and everybody knew everybody else. And think about what Kennebunkport in this area is all about. It's such a tight knit community. He was an outsider when he showed up. And this is an area that might be a little bit wary of people, especially from New York, coming up here. And Dave was able to break through that over the years and really become a fixture in this town. You know, and I think one of the most fascinating things is he was able to truly, you know, as I talked about, develop and follow this passion that he had for boat building. One of the other things that allowed him to do was also to stay true to this idea of fighting back to the authority. And I think there's some classic coups that he's thrown over the years that he was able to do here. And that's because this town allowed him to be an individual and allowed him to grow that area. The first was when he left the boat school because of some the landing boat school, he built a shop right next door and called it Bull House Boatworks, Better Boats, Less Bullshit, just to throw it back in their face. Excuse me, Lexi. Sorry. And then obviously had a very famous spat with the governor of Maine over apprenticeship laws, which, you know, showed up in the Boston Globe and was just so vintage Dave, if you ever saw it. It was unbelievable. So in my mind, thank God he found Kennebunkport, because this is a place that my brother met so many friends. He was so truly happy in this community. And I think if he had been anywhere else, I'm not sure he could have achieved a level of both professional and personal happiness in so many ways. So, you know, I'm sitting up here and I'm trying to be funny and humorous, because I think it's the only way that I know how to sit up here and talk about my brother in front of a crowd this way. But obviously, in April, the world changed in a lot of ways. And one of the hardest things for me was, you know, the realization that, you know, I lost a brother, and you get that. But what I didn't realize is how much I lost a friend overall. And Dave had been a constant in my life. He had been such a supporter of me. You know, one thing that made me really feel good about myself is he was proud of me. And I heard this through a lot of different avenues. It was hard to get Dave to be proud of someone or to respect somebody. And so that meant a lot to me. But what I've done over the last couple months is you try to figure this stuff out, as I'm sure we all do, is what does it all mean? And I certainly don't have the answer for that. But I had five or six things that I'm going to take away from Dave's life as I try to figure it all out. The first one, and this would be for the kids and everybody else in the room, be yourself. I mean, Dave was such a unique character, and he could have conformed and done something different, but the Dave we know and love wouldn't have been here today. And thank God he leveraged the unique aspects that he had. And I think it's something that we can all take away, which is your individuality is something that is just unique and gifted, and play to it at all times. The other thing is my brother Dave lived life on his own terms. and to the detriment sometimes of dealing with him and everything else. But you know what? He lived it on his own terms. And as a result, you know, he crafted everything that happened in his life, and he takes responsibility for everything that happened in his life. But he was able to live it that way, which is fantastic. The other thing is follow your passion. And as I talked about his passion or passions, he had many, but obviously boat building was it. And how lucky was my brother to find something that he loved to do as his job that he had a passion for? I know me personally, you can talk to my wife. A week after my brother died, I told her I was quitting my job. And she said, why? And I said, because I got to go do my passion. She said, what's your passion? And I said, I don't know, but I've got to go figure out my passion. And she said, I'll support you, but I think we should take some time with this. And, you know, thankfully, where is Shannon? So thank you. But but then I realized, you know what, I'm sure we all do, I like my job, and I'm probably never going to be able to say that's my true passion, but look at these three little gem girls I have and family and friends and all that. And that, you know, everybody can have a passion. It can be something different. So follow your passion. Don't let anything get in the way. Another thing would be engage your mind. I mean, my brother had just an incredible mind, and he didn't just sit back with it. He engaged his mind at all times. If it was working with friends, trying to figure out how things got better, he was doing it. He knew everything through reading, and he read and read and read. He didn't sit back. He took advantage of the mind he had, and just, you know, you sit back. Is that what we're all doing? And I don't know. It's something we can ask all of ourselves. Another two or three that I have here. One was just to really give of yourself and give back. And my brother did a ton for people in this community. And I can't tell you how many people have come up and said, I was going through a divorce, or something happened, or this happened, or someone died. And my brother was out there building, you know, cabinets for people and helping them and putting people up in his house. And he loved, and he was so proud that he was a member of the Kennebunkport Library. So as I like to say, my brother Dave had a lot of bark, but not a lot of bite. And I think people know what I'm talking about, because underneath he was extremely compassionate in so many ways. The last thing I would say is be courageous. And this is a really hard one for me, because my brother, it's amazing that I'm sitting there talking about all the things my brother accomplished, yet my brother, obviously, as we all know, had periodic bouts of severe depression. And only he could fight that, and other people tried to help him. And you know, for the battles that he waged in the past, he's my hero. He's extremely courageous for what he did. And you know, God bless him. And just, we all have problems, and be courageous and fight them is all I can say. In closing, so I really don't know what it all means, but I can tell you that I will obviously have a deep sadness somewhere buried deep inside me over the loss of my brother. But I also know that he touched my life in so many incredible ways. And I have, as we all do, so many things that we can take away from this. And I just, hopefully this moment of reflection will allow us to do that. So thanks.
Like to follow that.